Benton County. Good morning.
Good morning.
Land use meeting, just kind of an update on that. We have that rescheduled again for July 25th, 6 o'clock. We have everything set up for it. Meeting with Joe sometime in the next week or so. He's supposed to give me a call today just to go over and make sure we have everything ready to go. So that's just kind of an update thing. Uber Heights annexation, there's been a lot that happened since our last meeting. So I thought I'd put that on here and we could have some discussion on that. So, discuss.
Did you watch that thing?
I did not.
Well, it was very interesting. At the end, Anita Kitchen asked for Jeff Gore to give her an apology for all of the social media stuff and all. And he told us all what had happened. And, you know, in his typical fashion. And he was not going to apologize for telling the truth at all. And they just went back and forth at one another. They mentioned your name a lot, that you was down there and talked about the position that they put us in, the annexation agreement, and all. It was just facts. And then old Campbell wanted me to say a few things, so I did. I told him they were telling us to make the title on social media. But anyway, he said he wouldn't be against a 40-year moratorium.
After he already said they'd agree to 50, but
well,
okay.
Yeah. But anyway,
he
it was just kind of...
He also said he didn't know how he was going to vote.
Campbell?
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
They're awesome.
Yeah. So, they were all there. Yeah, it was interesting. So I don't know what tonight's going to be.
Do they have a meeting tonight?
Yep. And the annexation moratorium was on the agenda.
So I ran into one of their council members at the Y, and he basically said, again, take it with a grain of salt because everybody's telling us something that's their version of the truth. He's like, we all knew about it. We knew everything about that agreement ahead of time. Like, well, that's not really how it came across to us. Your one guy posted on our social media that they knew nothing, and he's like, everybody knows. Everybody was aware of it. Okay, fair enough. And he said, come January, there will be a new council. They've already lined up three people to take. Shaw's not running, Otto's not running, and Lyon's not running. And there will be a whole new suite of votes. And they will be, he said, they've already got them lined up. They're all pro-annexation. And Kitchen, so it'll be a 7-1 split. Because Kitchen is the only one left from that BT.
Did you say he's the one guy that's running against Shaw? I think it's Shaw or Otto. I think it's Shaw. He's running unopposed. And he seemed like a decent guy.
This person didn't say anything about.
But he said he was running unopposed, and then there was another guy there that has opposition. So, and that's all the ones I heard.
They're running
out of
vote.
Yeah, as you say, they have till August, right?
Yeah. I'm just repeating what he said to me.
No. They may not have till August.
But it was kind of the best meeting I've been to in a while.
Really?
They were all kind of plus.
It's what the Board of Elections, packet tells you.
Shawna seems to have mellowed whole bunch.
Oh, really?
And he admitted that he had told the mayor that he was a soft yes. I don't know what a soft yes is, but he was a soft yes on annexation.
Was that Lyon?
Shaw.
Shaw.
Oh.
That's interesting. So with all that stuff being said, all the stuff that's going on, what are our future actions?
Do a meeting tonight, see what happens.
So the big question is, what happens to that agreement?
Right.
Is it done now because they let the time slip, or? Because it's written around the 260 acres.
Right. So if they're, I mean, and my thought, knowing now that they have been in contact with the Holderman folks, with that other acreage, that the next annexation petition that comes across will be more acreage than the last one.
Definitely.
So, then, like you said, it's written around the 260.
Yeah, but the question is, for the attorney, does that make it null and void, or do we need to do something to make it null and void, or do we need to let it ride? What is the action?
Yes, those are questions that I do have, and I don't have those answers. I let it go till that last minute, you know, as far as seeing what they would do, because I wasn't sure. I mean, some of the weirdness coming out of what they might have even acted on it at that point in time. So now I have to follow up and find out if that agreement's dead or not. So, or if it's just still floating.
Well, I would leave it. I wouldn't rescind it on our part. I think that it's out there. We negotiated with them in good faith. Who actually saw it on their side? Nobody's going to give us a straight answer. Like,
correct.
We, you know, we could have just, it could have just been Campbell and Brian saw it. We don't know that, but let's assume that they all saw it, they all agreed, and for whatever reason they, yeah. I mean, so I say we keep it, and then maybe we can negotiate. I'd rather not start at square one. I think it's a good agreement, a solid agreement for us, and a solid agreement for them. I'd really not like to spend the money to do it again.
Well, even if we, I mean, there's still a question is, since it is written around those 260 acres.
Right, yeah.
If it's now a null and void thing, mm-hmm. you know, as far as that goes. Secondly, I understand. You know, I've gone back and forth. I mean, when that first came out, what came out on social media, one of my thoughts was, well, just rescind that, you know, you just get that knee-jerk reaction. And then now that I've thought about it a little bit more, it's kind of like I don't want to play into their hand again.
Right.
As far as if we rescind it, and then them saying later on, well, since you rescinded the last one, let's start, like you said, from
fresh.
Scratch.
Yeah, we don't start.
So, I've gone back and forth with those two things as far as what's the best thing. So on my agenda this week is to get back with Peter and talk about options moving forward.
Is it correct in saying that it's a resolution that
right.
includes the agreement? So a resolution is in effect. Mm-hmm. And if at some time you want to amend that resolution to amend
yeah.
the agreement, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is at this point. It's a resolution that we've passed, and resolution doesn't have to go away.
Right.
Just because, yeah, at this point.
So, options.
Well, and the resolution states in the attachment A and attachment B. I mean,
correct.
It's certainly.
It is definitely tied to that
yeah.
annexation. So.
But you can amend those attachments. It's not like you have to rewrite the whole agreement.
Correct.
They're not going to.
So is the thing to do is to find out what that is, see what happens tonight, and then see what our next steps are? I'm just, it's just like, kind of like the white elephant in the room right now, like, what do we do? And that's my question.
So they have a meeting tonight. What time? Six.
Six.
Is there a workshop? They wait to see what they do tonight. have the annexation petition already.
A new one?
Geared up and ready to go.
So even if they pass that with flying colors, the next council can just turn around and undo it?
What, a moratorium?
Yeah, the moratorium. I mean, it'll make a statement if they do it, but...
Well, not necessarily. I mean, this annexation agreement, if they unpass it, then everything else goes away too. I mean, it's all tied up together. It's not just passing. I mean...
They're not passing the annexation agreement. They're...
Oh, I misunderstood what you said.
What they have on the agenda is an annexation moratorium for Huber.
Oh, yeah, they're not gonna pass that ever.
So even if they did pass it, they can unpass it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't, I mean, sitting back and waiting, I don't think it's, you know, it'd be interesting to see what they do, but I would like you to go to Peter and ask him.
Well, I'm gonna do that anyway.
And ask him where it stands. What's the validity of it? Is it tied to the 260 explicitly?
That's a given. I mean, I'm going to do that today after this meeting, so.
Okay.
I mean, because we need to know that regardless.
Yeah.
But I guess as far as the next steps in the overall process, I mean, let's just say Peter says it's all tied to the 260 acres. You know, if that 260 acres changes, then the whole thing is kind of a crack to the drawing board. It doesn't really matter in the fact that we got to wait for the next annexation petition anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's just the whole process has been discombobulated from day one with them, and it just seems like we're waiting for our next thing for them to bite us with. I'm trying to avoid that.
They did figure out that 50-year renewal.
All right.
They did figure that out, that both sides has to agree.
Well, you knew they would at some point in time. I'm just basically thinking that we just all need to keep our thinking caps on with this and think what they're... Try to figure out what their next steps are. Like you said, they pass this to look good, and then the next council comes along, and they rescind it. So...
Well, and Cor basically stated in the meeting that there were probably not going to be an annexation deal the next time around.
Oh, yeah.
A moratorium deal.
I didn't hear that.
Kind of said that in the meeting.
How did he kind of say that?
Well, I don't, I mean, he was going on about a lot of things, but it's been implied several times that it won't be necessary, basically.
Because he'll have
If he has all the votes that he needs, then, I mean, I don't think he wants to say too much at this point, but the other thing is he has never publicly corrected the fact that everybody has seen it. So I don't know who you talk to, but... I mean, I just can't believe that if everybody had seen it, that wouldn't be the first thing that comes now. I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. I'm just saying
is everybody's telling us a different story.
Yep.
I don't know. I wouldn't believe the person who told me that either. So
yep.
I just, you know, they're all telling us what they want us to hear.
I agree.
Well, I'm going to.
Okay.
You go.
I'll go.
You go, Julie.
I cannot go.
We will go.
All right. You good on that?
Yep.
All right.
Minutes review. Got minutes?
Well, they've been getting...
We sent them all to you.
So they said a few last or the workshop before that they keep this in place as kind of a placeholder to see if there's anything that any further discussion. I know that they've been out. There's been comments that came back. Is there any other discussion topic on those things that we need to discuss?
I thought they looked good. I thought yours looked good. I thought Debbie's looked great. They were fine.
So everything that's been discussed and reviewed is ready to go. I'll just need to get that list from you of what to put on the meeting for Tuesday.
Okay.
So how many sets of minutes do we have to approve it? Well,
say about five.
There's five.
Good.
Okay.
All right. So that's good.
right.
Move on to trustee items. Julie had a couple of items to bring up. The policy on fire department hospital transports, I sent that out with your guys' agenda packet this time, and then I also have a copy of it there for you today.
I did read all of this. It is, to me, like it just made...
Well, from what I understand, there might have been an issue with transport where somebody said that we don't transport to a hospital. And so that's what I was trying. I talked to Julie Monday briefly and need to kind of figure that part out. So it sounds like that we should have transported to that hospital. It's on our transport list.
So what happened, Julie?
Well, if you would like to hear from the source, she's
right here
today.
Okay, yeah, we would like to hear from the source. Good morning.
Yeah, I wrote it all out, but I'll get to motion.
Okay.
Okay, but it's on the 13th of May at 7 o'clock in the morning. My husband woke up and he just covered with blood, and his side of the bed was covered with blood. So I called his doctor, and he said to him, because I thought it might be the new medicine he was on, because he just had been diagnosed with pneumonia. They put him on a new medicine. I thought maybe that had caused his bleeding. And he said, no, just get him to the ER as soon as possible. So I called 911, and Bethel, Miami was dispatched. And they arrived at Vitals and asked my husband some questions. They then asked, what hospital do we want to go to? And I said, Springfield Regional. And they said they could not go there. It was against their policy. And I asked him why, and they just said it was against their policy. So I asked him to call the Carlisle Fire Department, because I know they will transport, because that thing would be a joy run. And they said they could not, the squad guy said they could not do that either. They said they could not take him, they could have taken him to Soin. And I said I did not want to go to Soin because he has COPD, pneumonia, and now this bleeding, is a rectal bleeding problem. He's caused all this. And I wanted him to go to his hospital with his doctors that knew his whole case and everything. And at this time, I was upset and crying. My husband was confused and not understanding what was really going on. And so I called my son, Dwayne Stitzel. He lives there on Pinsca. And I asked him to come over. And when he arrived, he asked them twice, you won't take him to Springfield Hospital? And they said, no, it's against our policy. So they had my husband sign a refusal of services form on an iPad and he left. My thinking was, we did not refuse their services, they refused us. But we wanted to go to Springfield. So my son and I practically had to carry my husband to the car and transport him to Springfield Regional. And I just want to know, I know there's going to be future squad runs because as the COPD progresses, you'll probably have more squad runs. Do I have to take him in the car every time we have to go to Springfield Regional? So since then, though, I found out that we do go to Springfield Regional. And I'd just like to know why they did not know that. What was the problem there? That was it.
And that was May 13th?
Yeah. May
13th. You said that about 7 o'clock in the...
About 7:30, between 7:30 and 8 probably when they came, because I think it was 7 o'clock when
okay.
I got up.
Okay. Well, I can tell you that we'll definitely look into that. We do have a policy that we put in place years ago, and Springfield is on there. So I don't know if it was a, I don't know why. So I have to check, but it should be a hospital that we go to. There's also a point in there that allows them to check with the on-duty supervisor for...
I saw that. We're going to check with number 30.
Or something.
It's not a non-primary hospital.
Correct. I mean, if there's a strange set of circumstances, if we have manpower available and everything else, they, you know, because we have a lot of requests for catering hospital, which is a long way for us. I mean, it's quite a haul, and there's so many other hospitals that are in that network, you know, as far as that goes. And we will check into that and find out.
So if I have to have another run within the next week or two,
they'll go to Springfield.
They'll go to Springfield.
Yeah.
As long as they know that.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll get that part taken.
That was a very trying day, and I don't want anyone else to have to go through that.
Understandable. So we'll definitely look into that. That's why we have this, and we'll find out who and why and what happened and make sure that that's taken care of.
Very good. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I apologize that you had to go through that. That's always a trying time.
It's very trying.
But in the future, I mean, I understand you wanted them to go to Springfield and that sort of thing. There are some that are further out. So, I mean, you may be on, I don't know, out in the car going to the mall. So, you know, it's somewhere and they won't take them. at least they, with the charting now, that pretty much follows the patient around, so anyone would be able to get a lot of their medical records, so.
In an emergency.
In an emergency situation, so just in case you're away or something, you know, don't feel like you're tied back to that Springfield Hospital, but.
But when I was at home, you know.
Absolutely, I understand, I'm just saying for future reference.
Right, oh, yeah.
You know, you said, so they knew the doctors, the cases and all that kind of stuff, that almost follows you around anymore.
I understand.
With that, so.
This K, Troy Hospital, is that Kettering Troy Hospital, or what is the Troy Hospital?
I'm sorry?
This K on.
K is the Kettering, yeah, it's called Troy Hospital.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
That was original naming.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll give you my card too, if anything, if that happens, and it's, that's the same thing as calling.
Okay, I appreciate that, thank you.
So yes, that's our hospital transport list, as far as where we go. Honestly, Upper Valley's one of the farthest ones for us.
Yeah, I know.
But you're, you know, it depends on where we're at, if we're on the northern part of the township, it doesn't take very long to get there.
Well, I think some, we need to learn some lessons there too, right, is one is, does this get reviewed with everybody, how often, just new people, like, seems like maybe we need a refresher now and then, or something, I don't know, so that it doesn't happen, because it could happen for other people as well, you know, so maybe something along those lines that, to make sure people.
But definitely a training issue as far as that goes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as far as making sure that everybody's aware again. I mean, this is part of our SOG manual, so our standard operating guidelines that they'll get reviewed with new hires and everything else. So, and that's part of the one, I mean, we do 99% medical, so the medic portion of it's pretty highly stressed. So I'm not sure where the breakdown was. So I'll have to look into that.
Figure that out first.
Right. I mean, I don't take very many medicals anymore, as far as that goes. And even I know we go to Springfield Regional Hospital. So, you know, it should be one of those things that's more ingrained. So I don't know if it was, I don't know.
Well, and I think the policy that they should call somebody as well, you know, that we shouldn't just stand there and say no, because you already have an error, which is a great idea to call the on-duty supervisor. I don't know if that happened a lot. We don't know yet.
I don't
but,
know.
But yeah, that's a good.
Well, thank you for bringing that to us, and hopefully you'll never have that problem again. And
yeah,
you do know now that
we
do transport to that hospital. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming in. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yard sale survey. That's another one of the things you brought up.
Yep. So this is just kind of informational. It's already saved us. So we did a survey during the yard sale.
Who's we?
I did. We had a main table where people sat. There were some other people that helped with the yard sale that were also part of it. That asked, so we had these ideas that I've told you guys about before about possible community events. So I put those on a paper and let people rank them. To get idea of priorities, and then also ask for any new comments or any comments of what you would like to see in the future. So some people did not rank them, they just checked them.
Mm-hmm.
So the column on there that says votes, so that column that says votes is just those that check the boxes as opposed to ranking them, and then the last part of it is ranking them. So, and those are just meant to be ticky marks. It's obviously not 1,100 votes. Just so it would be more obvious which ones had gotten more votes. And I mean, it does kind of tell us where people lean if you look at some of the items, like the picnic, just running down the list, a lot of the votes are from 1 to 6, right? Same thing for the Bethel Hope event, Kitty Tractor Pull, which surprised me. So it was just a way to get some feedback on maybe what our next community event could be, And then all the comments that were written in, I put at the bottom there. And those are just word for word of what people said. Number 10, they didn't write anything, but they underlined one suggestion at pickleball courts in Friendship Park. So I'm assuming they meant that was a good idea. But I just wanted to give you guys that information.
So I guess I would, if you're going to build this as a Bethel Township thing, I would appreciate that we discuss this ahead of time before you put a survey out there that, by all intents and purposes, appears that it's a Bethel Township survey. It's not a Bethel Township survey. It is a Julie Reese survey, which is great. But then, just like you can't stand when you say that I put words in your mouth when I speak for you on Facebook, I don't appreciate this either.
Yeah, it's a Land and Lifestyle Preservation Committee survey.
But that's not part of Bethel Township. It's in Bethel Township, but it's not a Bethel Township, our entity group. You started that on your own.
Yeah, for the community. And I mentioned this at least twice in the trustee report. And also, when I bring events to you guys, you say, okay, go do it. So, I've also read all of these events at other meetings. So, well, if you're not interested, then, you know, you don't have to be. I just wanted you to see the results.
I didn't say that I was not interested. I said in the future, if you're going to bill it as a Bethel Township committee, then we should be a part of it. Because it appears like it's the township trustees, but in reality, it's you doing it and your group. Or maybe it's just you.
Okay. It's a township committee. It's a committee for the township. So I can't really separate that from the township. Because it's township residents. That's the whole point of the committee.
Mm-hmm. We got
it's
that.
A grassroots committee, so.
If it was an entity that was sanctioned by Bethel, it's kind of like the Pee Wee football team at Bethel. They are part of Bethel schools. They get their athletes from Bethel schools, but they are not a part of Bethel local schools. They're not. And it's the same with this.
It wasn't put out as a trustee survey.
But you have Bethel Township Committee on the top of it.
Once again, it's a committee in Bethel Township of Bethel Township residents. So you can't separate out that.
Can I suggest maybe Land and Lifestyle Preservation Committee within Bethel Township instead of
just
Bethel
leave
Township?
Off the Bethel Township.
I just have one question about this so I understand how written this. Was there a total of 9 people that surveyed? Total of 9 people total that actually.
No, there was probably maybe 20. I didn't bring those with me. They didn't all choose, like even when people ranked them.
So there wasn't necessarily a vote
on some. Sometimes they only did 6.
That's right, but there was maybe 20 of these sheets turned into you to take this.
Yeah, 20 of the survey sheets.
So 20 people out of the entire township.
20 people who came to the yard sale, yes, this is what
they. I just wanted to understand that. I didn't.
Got it. Kitty tractor.
Yeah, surprising, isn't it?
That's expensive.
Is it?
Yeah. We've done them when I was on the fair board, we do them. We didn't do too many of them because this is expensive. Like,
the expense for like
getting somebody to bring a little.
The little fuller stuff. And,
yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't remember what it was. Off the top of my head, I think it was a couple $1,000. And then the little kids got trophies and different things.
We had looked at movie night in the park at one point in time and found out that because we were doing it, we had to buy the copy of the movie.
Copyright, yeah, we had to buy it and pay for that.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. I wonder how communities do that, though, but they must just have bigger budgets because it wasn't going to be like $1,000 or something.
I don't remember. We looked at this a long time ago.
But it was expensive.
Because I like that idea of the movie night type of thing, and I was really excited until that part out. Well, and I was still excited. It was cost prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, are we talking about us doing it as trustees, or are we talking about Julie's committee doing it?
I don't know, I'm just saying that.
Julie, what are you thinking? Is your committee's gonna take these on?
No, I mean, we only did it because that was one of the things that came up at the meeting, right, was it's not just land preservation, it's also lifestyle preservation. And the comments that came out were that we don't have a lot of community events. So the yard sale was kind of the first one that we came up with, and
so now you guys are gonna take on.
I bring it to you guys, you just say go do it, so we went and did it. But I would be happy if the township did it. I mean, it's not meant to be anyone's event, it's meant to be a community event.
And I don't see that we can afford it.
Well, there's some things on there that have smaller costs associated to them.
Yeah, the ideas were just like the brainstorming thing, right? And there was a guy at the yard sale, and I don't know him, I don't remember his name, but he had some ideas. He mentioned that there used to be a parade.
Yep, yep. There did. You can talk to Debbie about
it. Years ago, we had a festival. We had a parade. And Jane and I did the first one, and then I did the second one. The entire park was filled with vendors. School was in the parade. All the Pee Wee sports were in the parade. They marched from the school. They marched down Man Road and back around into Friendship Park.
So all the way down 201?
No, I think they meet at the school. They met at the school and came from the school down to 201.
They didn't walk their far.
That's a trip.
I don't remember.
I don't remember, but I know they right. came down Man Road because everybody used to sit in my driveway to watch.
Yeah.
And then they went right into the park, and then we had this huge festival. We did it for a couple of years.
But
it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. As Cub Scouts and all that.
We didn't charge for anybody to set up. It was just you had to sign up, and we had crafts and food vendors, and a lot of the sports team or the sports organizations had booths where we tried to keep it so everybody had some different, not all the same foods and things like that. It was a lot of work, but we did have that in the past.
Is there a negative other than
lack of volunteers?
That would be definite. Nowadays, lack of volunteers would probably be the biggest thing. But
and it was a lot of work just to do that yard sale.
Yeah, so it is a lot of work, and you need a lot of people to help with something like that. But I don't even know that as large as we've gotten at the schools. Our little thing for the barns, all the groups in it. I don't know.
There's also more traffic on the roads.
And there's a lot of liability to that, too. I'm sure it could be done again, but we've done it in the past, so it's not like we've never had anything. I was going to say, the soccer and other sports you swap, why don't you call the boosters? I mean, the school should do that. That's not that it's not a community event, but that's a point of contact for you is one of the groups at the school, maybe the soccer coaches. I mean,
I'm discussing all the ideas. I'm just saying, here's what the ideas are.
I'm just saying some of these ideas, and I'm just giving you ideas of how to make these some of these happen. That's all I'm saying. I think that either the coaches or the program might like that, you know. And
the library, did they do a dress swap?
They do. The library does a prom dress swap.
No, no kidding.
Yeah,
you just come to the library.
Idea.
They're all on a. They're all on
a great idea.
Rack, and you just come in and you try on what you want. If you want one, you leave with it. Okay, that's it.
Love it.
Nice.
I went to the Troy parade yesterday.
I thought he was going to say you went to the dress swap.
Yeah, not that one. I don't normally go out of town.
Okay.
I went to the Troy parade. It wasn't very well attended, nor was it very well much in it. Up there yesterday, I was really shocked.
They had a 4th of July parade. I didn't know they did one.
I was shocked by it because there was no schools in it or nothing else.
They had a community picnic at Scooby for Kevin.
Yeah, ages ago. I think 2005.
Yeah. 2007.
Yeah, we had
2 years in a row. Berman and Landis donated.
Yeah.
So the first
mm-hmm.
the fire department was there. We were all there.
Yeah.
See, I even think the boosters are there.
Well, you can see from the list, there's pretty good support for some bigger capital than.
I don't own those anymore, so we have to ask.
That's like a foundation or a group now?
It's a nonprofit, Stu Baker Family National Association. So, I mean, I'm sure they would be amenable to it, but we'd have to rent the space. They're not, or maybe not, I don't know, we'll just ask them. If that's something that they want to do, but all of those things are a lot of oomph to get going.
Yeah, I've noticed parade attendance, just like from our local parade, we have a homecoming parade. The amount of participants has been seeming, I don't know if it was kind of a leftover still of the COVID stuff when we didn't have things, people got out of the habit, but attendance has been really bad on parade stuff lately. I don't know, Centerville has a big one at the 4th of July, but I don't know how that was this year. I mean, I didn't go, but Mike said he went down and watched fireworks down there, riding in the background.
Well, I went to the school, but they're supposed to have a festival. There was no festival. It was like three food trucks.
Wow.
A bit angry, instead of parents in the park, all the schools.
Okay.
The person who, I mean, you have the server sheets, and I don't remember if there was, you could put your name on it or not for more information, but the person who's willing to donate money to the pickleball court, are they willing to donate substantial amount to make that happen? I mean, could we ask that? Do you know who it was so you could ask that?
I'm guessing the name was on that one. I think there was only one or two that had names on it.
I mean, because that's a very expensive one.
Yeah,
that's not a, you know, and if you already have somebody that's willing to donate a big portion of it, then you could do a little more fundraising and make that happen.
We could name it that.
What?
Jenny Hodge.
It was not Jenny that said that. I would remember that. I don't remember who it was, but I think there, I'm pretty sure there was a name on that form.
I just thought that's an avenue to pursue for.
Well, they're all avenues to pursue. I just wanted you guys to see the results since.
Hubert Heights talked about building pickleball courts in that meeting. They want to make sure they can do tournaments, I think is what they call it.
From the Professional Pickleball League.
Something.
Association.
So they can make money from it.
I watched a little bit of the cornhole tournament on ESPN. Didn't realize it was that big, but.
Cornhole's huge. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. You have a couple bills to pay. Oh, sorry.
So what, are you, or is your community group going to do this?
I don't know what we're going to do. It's just informational at this point. I mean, we wanted to try to maybe do the yard sale annually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, assuming maybe we can grow it over time. I don't know. There's never a good time. Somebody else suggests we have another yard sale in the fall. Okay. But I mean, there's no good weekend, it seems like, to have a yard sale.
Because there's always something going on.
There's always something going on. We did. So this table where the volunteers kind of hung out, and we had all our township information. We did try to ask people where they were from. Just to see who the traffic was, because there was pretty good traffic, and it was probably about half from the people doing the national road yard sale.
Oh, that's good.
So it was probably a good weekend to do it from that perspective, but it was also the same weekend as the Strawberry Festival and Poor Farmers Flea Market, which, you know, probably didn't help, but I don't know.
There's never a good time, though.
Yeah,
perfect time.
So, but yeah, I mean, if you guys want to do an event, there's a list and some information of ideas and what at least those people thought that took the survey. The last thing on my list was the Bethelville drainage. It seems like that's kind of fallen off the radar. We talked about the need for it, and I don't know. It seems like we need to do something there, right? People's
well,
yards are flooding.
And the community said that.
Well, that plant didn't go all the way out to Palmer either, so it was not the perfect plan. And
it did go out to Palmer. Don was willing to do the work on Beth Houston's facility to get to the drainage tile.
Okay, well, can we still look at fixing that?
No.
Because you're not willing to do it anymore?
Not if we don't fix the problem.
So we would have to pay to have it fixed?
Well, we'd have to buy the land, and then we'd have to pay to have it fixed.
And then we'd have to give it to buy the land?
Well, the thing that will work is that we put the swale and the detention or retention pond, whatever you want to call it, on the property that owns it.
So I was under the impression from you guys walking it and everything that a lot of that tile was 100 years old and needed to be fixed. It wasn't just a swale was going to fix everything, that there was actually some other issues where bigger pipes fed into smaller pipes. Am I not remembering that correctly?
I think you're remembering that correctly on Beth Houston's property.
Yeah. Right.
But not Bethelville. Well, the thing we talked about on Bethelville was one of the issues, but you could fix it all brand new and it still won't fix the problem, is that everybody closed their open ditch. So when that was built, there was an open ditch with pipe under driveways. Then as people moved in and built the houses, they didn't put the right size pipe under the driveway. And then some people come along and put pipe in the ditch, fill the ditches in, so on and so forth. And that's created a problem, but the real problem is you need to stop the water before it gets to the back of their houses. And there's no room back there, because some of them has built mound systems and everything else for septic tanks behind their homes. There's no room back there. But if you take all along Bowman's property, 100 foot or so, all along down to the end, and then it'd have to be bigger than that, and put in a retention pond, then it would drain over through Ratterman's, which is fine, and then at Beth Houston's, there is a problem there.
Because the creek is coming put in.
The creek goes into a tile.
Yeah, that used to be, and I can remember that being an open ditch. Well, they come on and put an undersized pipe in it and created a problem, but it's a problem.
So the option we were left with was to revisit that ditch petition, correct?
Well, and I think the county's done all the work that they're willing to do on it for
without moving forward with the full-blown disposition.
Yeah. Well, and even then, I don't think that they're willing to do any additional work. I thought that, not Craig, Dan said that they've kind of gone outside of their normal capability.
So my recollection of that was that obviously if they went with the disposition, they would give soil and water or whoever was, you know, however that was working and proceed further, but they wouldn't do any more work until that was an official petition. That was my report.
Okay. All right. Maybe that's any more work until it's an official.
Yeah. And then once it was passed, but that would be that, whatever that was. Basically, Dan said that the county commissioners don't like us doing the 51% thing. With these petitions, they wanted more participation than that. Because there's two forms of the disposition, one that's kind of a forced one, and the other one's a voluntary one through soil and water, which is 100% participation.
Right.
The one that goes through soil. They'll have to agree. They'll have to agree to their shares, so on and so forth, through soil and water. The one that they can do through the county and the commissioners technically only requires 51%. But the commissioners don't like to do
because then 49% don't end up paying or don't want to pay.
So they like to see that more like up in the 90 percentile range. One thing that Dan said with it that would be a problem was the two largest ones were what's now the Bowman property, which was the and then the lady. Ray property on the other side of Palmer. That would be the two that would bear the most brunt to the whole thing. and did not feel that they would even probably be interested. So that, I mean, Dan was very specific on that.
Yeah, you're the large burden, but not have to.
But to have the least amount of benefit.
Yeah.
So we're kind of stuck here, we're still having a problem.
Now, at the Land and Lifestyle Preservation meeting, they talked about Halderman Lady's property up here. And they were, Lorna was disappointed, and others was, that DEC had an option on it. Lorna said she thought she could get a builder to come in there and build houses on 3-acre lots. Everybody seemed to think that was a pretty good idea, but there'd have to be roads put in and storm sewers and things like that for that to work. So I didn't quite understand. It sounded like everybody would be in favor of 10 new homes up there, but not 10 homes on Dave Spring, where you didn't have to build roads and sewers.
And why do you think that is? This stops annexation.
I thought it was crazy, but whatever.
If you build on the Halderman property, they won't annex it. Over there, nothing to do with annexation. And the question is not about developing the property. It's, you know, I see that we put a bunch of money in the budget to fix a road over here without a blink. But now, these guys along Bethelville and the Palmer problems, nobody seems to want to fix unless we trade our souls and build houses on the property. So, you know, where's the, what if it had never been bought and they had not agreed to put a swale in there? Are we going to go another 20 years without helping these guys? I'm just asking.
What it seems like is after there's another plan in place, everybody has a great idea, but before they have a great idea, or before somebody has a plan, nobody has an idea how to fix this issue.
Well, that's not true. We have engineering reports on that area.
We did. And the bill, I think, was $934,000 to fix it.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm just asking, why did it fall off the radar? Are we not doing anything to help? Can we do part of it and help fix it? Is there other alternatives, maybe besides the $900,000?
So the difference between the Bethelville drainage and the West Charleston Road is we are responsible for the road. We, the township, it's our road. We do need to fix that. The drainage, we're responsible for the drainage that goes under
the road.
That affects the road. But we are not responsible for individual properties drainage. We can facilitate a ditch petition, which is what we were talking about, which then came to the point that Don said that it's expensive. This is a very expensive ditch petition. Andy mentioned the fact that Soil and Water wants, the county wants it to be a soil and water ditch petition where there's 100% participation rather than the 51%, because then more people pay. But these are going to be big assessments, and we can't pay over
25%.
Otherwise, we are responsible for the ditches in perpetuity, and we don't want that either. So it's a lot of moving pieces and parts and things to consider. So I don't think that it's fallen off the radar. I think it's more to Don's point, which was we had a solution that fell through. Now we just need to start again. I'm these assessments are probably going to be, even if we kick in the full, which we should kick in the full 20% or 22%, whatever it was.
I don't remember that exactly.
Yeah, I don't either. Probably to the tune of $8,000, and that's a lot of money for people.
For the smaller properties.
For the smaller properties, yeah. For the bigger properties, it's even more than that.
Well, we've offered over on Ray's, it was $300,000.
Yeah.
Correct.
We ought County about that Denver on Palmer. I went down there when that car ended up in that ditch where that guy hydroplaned off of there.
It's a curve?
No.
Oh.
Down more towards the bowling alley, you know, there's...
Oh, down there, yes.
That water had to be probably 10 inches deep.
Oh, my God.
That side of the road, I drove through, and it was deep. The county needs to fix that, you know, Burroughs has that driveway that goes in before the creek.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I didn't get out, because everything was going on, but the county needs to look at that, fix that pipe. That water, I mean, you could tell that was exactly what happened, the guys hit that a little bit fast, and it threw him off the side of the road.
I think I'd explain it.
Well, past,
About Bell.
Yeah, east of Bell Fountain.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
West of the bowling alley, the old bowling alley.
I know the area, I was trying to get it in my head.
It wasn't very long, it's probably a 75-foot long, you know, spot out in the road.
It's pretty long, if you drive.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And didn't you guys clear out that creek to some extent on the east side of Bethel Hill? Thought you guys went back in there, thought...
We went back in there, it's open.
It's open.
Oh, it is open, okay, so it didn't need to be cleared out.
All through Lattermans and that other property today.
Yeah, we thought it was gonna have a bunch of construction.
Okay, that's, you thought it was gonna be caught up, but it wasn't, it was open.
Yeah, we were very surprised, the ditch was very well, I mean, it's not maintained, but it's very well maintained itself.
It can handle the water.
Yeah.
Beth Houston's is a man-made problem.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think Beth and her husband put that in, I think that's when Paul Mader lived there, and he put 12-inch pipe in a ditch that needs 30-inch. So now it runs across the top of the ground.
Yeah, some in the pipe and some above, if there's any getting through the pipe at all.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, there is, because when you get a rain and you look down in there, that pipe's flowing.
Yeah.
So some's going in there, but they're still coming out over the top. Because there's too much going in. Yeah, surprisingly, that ditch was in very good shape. Other than just happened to trudge through the middle of nowhere. Okay.
The way to fix it is what was proposed. A swale behind the houses and stop the water from getting to the houses.
Well, and that's essentially... I shouldn't say that. I don't remember. I don't think that's what the county did for us.
They, since we didn't own the property, they were going to put in all of that pipe.
Yeah, behind everything. Yeah.
Basins.
Yeah.
And put catch basins along Bethelville, put catch basins behind.
Mm-hmm. Behind all the houses, tile it, yeah.
I just don't know that it
worked. They were even going to put tile in the drainage system itself and then retile all of the stuff over on the rain piece.
Right.
Upsize all that.
So that's 18-inch pipe.
And they would have to go to 36.
I forget, that's a long piece of pipe.
Oh, very,
very long. I think it's almost like 600 feet or something.
Oh, way more.
It's more than that. It's 600 feet just to walk out to where it meets out there.
Okay. It goes clear of scar.
Yes.
Does it really?
Well, there's an opening. It opens into another open ditch.
Uh-huh.
Right at scar. Like right before scar. So there's like a tree line behind kind of the house where it rains on scar.
Yeah.
It opens into that ditch. That runs kind of right there where Scar's Nurseries is.
Yeah.
Right through there.
Oh, wow.
And that carries water.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes through there. Okay. Moving on, ongoing items. We already talked about the Uvalde to annexation above. Promotional videos, we're still working on those. Chris still has massage parlor stuff.
Do you think we'll ever hear from him?
I don't know. You get the best answer. I've checked back several times. So that's where I'm at.
I thought we were going to take the promotional videos off of this.
Oh, we can. I'm sorry.
If you're posting that.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. B-City USA, we were...
Yeah, you need a resolution. You just need to add our stuff to it.
Okay, so we can have that for next time. Trees on Singer.
I just read this. I have to go back and look at all that. Did you look at it?
I looked at it, and my suggestion is, you guys can see the email there. I have a few problems with that, and I think we need to meet with Eric. I don't have any problems with the trees that they marked off, you know, said that they want to keep. I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any trouble with them pruning them in such a matter, but they want a certified arborist to do it, and that's not a road we want to go down. That would increase our cost tremendously. So I think we need to meet back out there and take another look at all that. That was what the whole point of giving you that email is for me to say I think we should meet with them and review that again.
Well, I have to meet with them whenever you want.
I'll set up sometime with them. I'll give him a call today.
JDP is in the picture, right? It's one of these trees, isn't it?
Well, it's crazy. And I mean, he's talking about on here, that's one thing, and I don't care what he says, but that there don't need to be any dirt put in, but we're going to put some dirt along there and level that up so you can mow it.
So like I said, we need to re-meet. I mean,
which is good. You don't want him going to take one shovel real well and get it up.
And then Archive Social is just kind of a placeholder. We said we'd revisit that later. We've just kind of put them off and told them until fall.
Okay, so you're looking at October 1st of November. Great.
Any other topics?
Okay.
Questions, comments, concerns?
I did not go to Mark Gessman's viewing, and I thought I forgot about it, to be honest. It was all about 8 o'clock that night. Didn't make it. Trying to think. I've talked to a couple other people. I can take that stuff.
You can go visit him. He's right down here in Bethel West.
Yeah.
Do they already have one here?
Did you have anything else? Jeff, you have something?
Got the opportunity, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Opportunity to say something?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Just so you know, Jeff Morford, Wilson Township. I've been very busy the last 2 weeks. I have to read this stuff. Maybe a little complicated.
Who wrote it?
Me.
Oh.
Or trying to, anyway. My ability is always marginal there. I've been very busy the last 2 weeks with a family project. My presentation will be lacking correctness. My examples will not be exactly true, and I will be making assumptions. Hopefully you'll get my point. Let's look at the annexation request of New Carlisle. The developer DVC Management came to town. Let's look at their company structure. Let's assume it's a multi-million dollar company with deep pockets. As a business that plans, builds, and sells houses, they have an extensive group of in-house employees and hired professionals. They have property acquisition professionals who contact the landowners and convincing them to part with their land. They have a financial group examining loans, interest rates, profit margins. They have builders, including plumbers, electricians, contractors. They have a team of lawyers who take care of working through all the legal hoops. They have researchers who look at area jobs, growth, schools, zoning, codes, land costs. All these highly paid professional individuals determine if the developer sees potential and profitability of a project. All these individuals are paid a substantial income or paid professional fees. They are employed 40 hours a week, some devoted specifically to that project. Now, if a community, county, or township opposes the development, time and resources are limited. County commissioners, township trustees are limited by law. The citizens are limited by life. County commissioners, township trustees all have many, many other local pending businesses and cannot devote enough time or energy to focus on the opposition of the annexation, and the developer counts on that. It has been suggested many times, contact your local representatives. Easier said than done. Whatever efforts have been employed in the past have failed. We cannot accept these continued failures. The cost is much too high to the community and mostly Bethel students. My suggestion, contact the county, in all counties as far as I'm concerned, and the county hire a individual in tune with opposition to annexation, environmental, school, and traffic concerns. Hire him full-time, 40 hours. This person would be a coordinator, a researcher, a surveyor, a promoter, and a lobbyist. As a researcher, contact all the counties, all the townships, check the history of annexation requests, unwanted developments, Union referendum, Bethel referendum, what were the, and New Carlisle referendum, didn't quite get there. What were the outcomes? Were they successful? What the ballots were? What the votes were? How the people voted? How the city council voted? How the trustees voted? How the county commissioners voted? Accumulate this information, be presented to the lawmakers, hoping to convince them to modify or adjust the laws so they are not so one-sided in the developer's pocket. I am sure a group of lobbyists supported by the developers rolled into Columbus years ago and convinced the lawmakers how necessary and advantageous easy annexation laws would be. Developers come to the table with seemingly unlimited assets and personnel. If you as trustees are truly opposed to annexation, and if commissioners are truly opposed to annexation, we have to match the effort, energy, and money that the developers employ. I relate our efforts like bringing a knife to a gunfight. I can't speak for all, but I believe a vast majority of the local citizens and parents of Bethel school students would not object to tax money being spent to hire a full-time individual to focus on stopping annexation. I don't know what the budget is for Troy, Miami County, but I'm sure if they hired somebody for then to report to the commissioners or report to this office on a bi-weekly, monthly, what's happening in Tioga County up near Cleveland or something of that nature. You can't, you guys, today you talked about annexation there in Huber, but you don't have the time to devote to this. County commissioners don't have the time to vote this. I believe, hire a person. How much is it going to cost? What has worked, what has not worked in the past is not working today. You can't fight these guys with throwing marbles at them. So is there any logic to that, I know the law's on their side, so you got to change the law. We're pushing.
People's been trying to change the law for 20 years.
Well, I'm saying you got to put an asserted effort out, spend some money. These developers come in with money. You can't go to a fight with a 22 and they got a tank sitting there,
Well, let's put a 20 mil levy on the board.
I'm not talking 20 mil. I'm talking, it's just, I believe just a little bit of money, and I don't know what a one person would cost, what the county commissioners would have to pay wage to somebody that would just focus on what happened in the past annexation, what's the history of it, so they can accumulate that thing. I don't care how many little townships are across Ohio, how many counties are across Ohio, contact them, take a survey of their situations that might be similar to our situations, ask them what have they done, what has worked, what hasn't worked, what might work, and maybe by accumulating all that information and taking it to the state representative instead of the developers going to the state representative with their lobbyists and taking them out to dinner and tell them all the good, you know, they're
about to say dinner, they're giving them $500,000 or so besides the dinner.
Well, I don't want to say that.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Because that's how, unfortunately, that's how much things work.
Yeah. But that's not right either. That's not right either.
I agree with you.
You know, that's not the way it should be.
I agree with you.
So there are times that, you know, obviously you see the involvement in New Carlisle. They got involved and things were expressed to the local government there and they saw the light, let's call it. Maybe only temporarily. I'm saying if all the counties, all the townships got together in mass and really expressed and showed them facts and accumulated that so they could see it, because, you know, they might hear, you know, they might see me on the corner wave my hands, oh, I hate this, I don't like this. But if they see some kind of real surveys from counties and townships and everybody else to say, you know, there is a push for this. It's not only the developers have a say in this, it is the citizens have a say in this, you know, and it's hard. You know, citizens, you know, I went door to door. Citizens, oh, I can't fight big business. Citizens, oh, I got a sticky hand I got to take care of. I can't, I don't have any time to do that. Citizens, I got kids in school, I got kids in volleyball, I got kids in baseball. They don't have enough time, so hire somebody to do it. Yeah. Legitimately.
Thank you. Alex, you got anything?
I do not.
You do not?
Wow.
Anybody else?
So to Jeff's point, can we, as a township, I don't know, pass a resolution and ask the county about hiring somebody?
So you could probably just call them. The only two townships that I'm aware of in Miami County that have issues with annexation that's not desired is us and everybody else, like Monroe Township, Tip City, Concord Township, nobody bats an eye. Staunton's not super thrilled about it, but they don't bat an eye either with Troy. Because it's their, you know, they're all kind of their same city and community. So essentially they would be hiring that person for us and Union. And I don't even know where Union Township stands. I haven't heard any of their annexation woes in the past. But yeah, I mean, you could certainly call the, we could certainly call our commissioners or the new, I'll call the new, what is
administrator?
Administrator?
Whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah, they, oh, it's this yeah. New title. Michael Cleary?
Cleary? Yeah.
Cleary?
Cleary's what sounds like.
Yep. And, you know, we can check with OTA to see if they actually have that data, Jeff, that you're talking about. They act as a clearinghouse for all the townships, and they might have some type of survey that's already done. I kind of doubt it, but maybe it's one they could start.
Like I said, I've got no access to this. You know, I have no idea what has been done in the past, what could be done today or in the future, but I just know we guys have been fighting these guys for 20 years.
Longer, but yeah.
Probably more. So see there, even that's not accurate out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it's been, but it's
first annexation happened in 1998.
For us.
For us, yeah. Not the first annexation ever. So. All right.
When did you were annexed?
Geez, I think in 80, when they became a city, right? 82.
Well, they became a city. Yeah, I mean,
but by that time they had, like, they just absorbed the rest of Wayne Township. Wayne Township dissolved and Hugh Heights became it in 81. So
yeah, when they were getting threatened
by Huber. Right.
By Dayton.
But every person in Bethel Township said they'll never move north of 70.
Yeah, that was early 80s because they were doing that in Harrison Township too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harrison Township's in like four pieces.
Yeah, they got it all split up.
They listed the other day, I saw an article somewhere, so I had to make sure. The largest farm ground, North County has more farm ground than any town, any county.
In Ohio?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Lyme County wasn't even in the top 25.
25% or 25 counties?
25 counties.
So that was in the state of Ohio though, right?
Now, what about some of those ones up north?
Yeah, me too. Sometimes you drive, there's nothing.
The only reason I say that is because that drive from Lyme to Ada.
Yeah.
The only thing really in that county is Ada.
And then you run from 71 to Cleveland.
Yeah, same thing before you get to Youngstown or whatever.
Yeah, you go by Green, was it Washington Courthouse, where you, was that Green Day or something?
See, when you start getting down south, you start just getting into areas that don't actually have farmland. It's open, but not farmland.
All right, let's adjourn.
We're done.
10:13.
10:14.
It's freezing in here.
Well, for once, I'm not cold.
Really?